You're in great singing voice this morning. Well done. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I guess you're always in great singing voice. Didn't mean to put you off in that way. Have you ever had something in your eye? You know that feeling when that occurs? It's pretty bad. If you wear contact lenses, it's even worse. At least in my experience it is, to have even the tiniest speck get stuck on that lens and your eyelid closes over it and just awful. Whether it's a bug or a little leaf or one of your own eyelashes, getting something in your eye stops you in your tracks. Having a little pebble in your shoe, pretty bad too, but the tiniest thing in that eye is just worse. St. Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount, this time on a level plain, Jesus gives his disciples and the crowds gathered round a rousing education. In this section, Jesus deals with the ever-present, even today, controversial topic, judging others. In this passage, you hear the words of Jesus himself, so often quoted by many Christians, non-Christians as well, judge not, and you will not be judged. What does Jesus mean by that? A simple thought on that statement reveals that more study is needed. The simple mind could very easily conclude that if I never judge anyone else, then I will not ever be judged myself. Right away, you can detect a major flaw in that thinking. For you know that you are going to be judged by God for your sins, no matter what in this life. So abstaining from judging others does not remove eternal judgment from you. That would be works righteousness of sorts. Jesus thus starts his Sermon on the Plain in the same way he started the Sermon on the Mount, with the gospel in the form of Beatitudes. Blessed are you. This serves to shape, to mold, to direct the thinking on then the rest of Jesus' teaching. For he removes the very idea that you can earn your salvation, for it's given to you already. And so what follows those Beatitudes then is not instruction on how to get eternal life, but it is instruction for those who already have it by faith in Jesus' gospel. From a fairly young age, you and I have had a decent sense of right and wrong, what is fair and what is not. You doubt that, just take a look at any young child around you and just observe for a little while. But as a kid, you saw when your brother or your sister or maybe your friend got something that you liked, you wanted to have the very same thing or at least an equivalent. If you got pushed, what did you want to do? Push them back. When someone hurt you, you would go and you would tell on them. Why? Because you wanted justice, fairness. You wanted them to get what they deserved. And so naturally then, as human beings, it is our tendency to judge other people. We do it all the time. You can't kid yourselves about that, whether you're aware of it or you're not. We compare others mostly with ourselves. We judge them based on our idea of what is normal, what is good, and what is right. And so judging others is truly our default mode. In sinfulness, truly, it can be no other way. That's where Jesus' word comes in. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Like getting something in your eye. You're stopped dead in your tracks when you hear such a word. Jesus is seeking to stop, to halt your default mode. Rather than judging others, your default mode as Christians, followers of Jesus, those saved by faith in his great work on the cross, your default mode then should be that of mercy. Today's first verse of the gospel reading is meant to shape your every thought, your every word, your every deed. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. It's like getting something in your eye. It's not the norm to do that, to think that, to be like that. It stops us in our usual way of thinking, of acting, of being. And it takes work. It takes practice. It takes conscious thought and a ton of prayer to start being more merciful instead of judgmental. Consider Joseph. From our Old Testament reading for today, Genesis chapter 50. You know his story, don't you? Favorite son of Jacob, out of 11 other brothers. Given a coat of many colors, the envy of all around. Hated by his brothers so much, they wanted him dead. A last-minute intervention saves his life, but still he gets sold away as a slave to foreigners. Imagine your family doing that to you. Awful. He ended up in a foreign country just trying to survive. Remaining faithful to Yahweh God, no matter what, Joseph was blessed with power and with authority in the country of Egypt. And the dreams he interpreted actually came true. And all the land then suffered a great famine. It was then that Joseph came back into contact with his long-lost brothers, though they did not know it. Joseph then had all the power needed to exact vengeance on his evil brothers for their treachery, their betrayal of him. But rather, moved by great compassion, he speaks with the foreshadowing voice of Christ Jesus. Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. Joseph lived out Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Even the most despised actions of evil men can be used by God for great blessing. First and foremost among them, chief, top of the list, is the very crucifixion of our Lord. How true are those words of Joseph in that very situation? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. By Jesus' unjust death upon the cross, true justice is won for all mankind. Faith in Christ Jesus, given in word and sacrament alone, allows you to stand clean, pure, untainted, unstained in God's great sight. Sins forgiven, all of them. Truly, as the only one who is good and holy and just, God alone is the one who judges for sin. He alone has every right to exact judgment on all mankind, to wipe us clean from the face of the earth. On the last day, that judgment will indeed occur in the form of fire, as scriptures foretell, as our Lord Jesus does indeed return to judge both the living and the dead. And yet, chief, top of the list among the attributes of God is not his justice, but his mercy. It is out of love that he made you and all of creation around you. It is out of love that he sent his only begotten Son into this flesh to bear your sin and to be your Savior. God is the chief merciful one. He is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. In baptism, he clothed you, dressed you up in the righteousness of Jesus, his Son, so you stand untainted in his sight. In the Lord's Supper, you are fed with the all-powerful body and blood of Jesus Christ to strengthen you in that faith through the very forgiveness of sins. As his people, then, his people, you are counseled by your Lord to be merciful, just as he has shown mercy to you. You are directed by Jesus to judge not, because you know that you too stand judged for your sin. All those whom you seek to judge as sinners are sinners just like you. So look upon them in kindness and in mercy, even as you would have them look upon you. With the measure you use, it will be measured back to you, Jesus says. So love in the way that you want to be loved. Judge in the way that you want to be judged for what your wrongs you have committed. Remember that thing in your eye, the log of your own sinfulness. Remember how awful it feels to be aware of your own flaws, how much it messes with your mind. When you have soaked all of that in, meditated upon that, as those who remember the love and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ for all of your sin, then proceed to ever so delicately remove the speck from your brother's eye, your sister's eye. When you seek to do those things in mercy, in love, in compassion, true concern for your brother and your sister in Christ, then you do so well.